Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful. To sing, as you all know, so I apologize if I get excited about doing that, but I really don't, because we take it to the throne room of God. The intent of church, first and foremost, is to praise and worship our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So I relish in that, I enjoy it, and I'm honored to do it because of what he's done in my life, and hopefully what he's done in each of yours. The word says he is worthy to be praised. Worthy to be praised. And so, Lord God, thank you for allowing us to have a voice, to worship and praise you in the assembly of God's people. Amen. And I'll just preface this message a little bit because I was full of joy this week. Do you ever get one of those times when I'm in the groove, I'm starting to put, I'm not even preaching. I don't know that I'm preaching. I'm writing songs down and I'm getting the words together and I'm putting the word together and everything's going great. And it's Monday and Tuesday and I don't know why, but the Lord's having me study stuff because I like to study, and I'll never come before you if I haven't studied the word. And I encourage you, if there's something that's released through me and it doesn't align with the Spirit of God in you, of course you need to reject it. But I come before you and say, I study the word. I will never come before you and not do it unless the Holy Spirit's going to flow, which he does. But I'm having a good week. Everything's going great. And I decide to call Pastor, I don't know if it was Thursday or Friday, and I said, do you have a message? Because I thought I had a message. And he said, well, I might have something working in the brew, and we're talking about some other things. And at the end of it, he says to me, no, I'll have you do it. And thank you, Pastor Tim, for having confidence in me and releasing the gifts of the body, because we all have gifts in here, but mine happens to be I like to preach, and the Lord's blessed me to do so. Well, I said, and everything's great, and okay, we're going to have you do it. And lo and behold, guess what happens? The enemy comes in. If you don't believe in spiritual warfare, I'm telling you, it is in existence in the earth. And especially because Satan doesn't want us to release the gospel message of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And all of a sudden, I'm getting hit with calls and things coming at me and bad things happening. And I said, I'm just going to drive. I'm going to go over to Target. By the way, you can't buy any shirts anymore unless you want to spend $70 to $80. But the reality is, I put my wallet in my pocket, went into Target, was there 5 minutes, came out, came home, and said to Julie, okay, let's go get something to eat. Where's my wallet? Full of credit cards and full of, my chaplaincy license and all the other things going on. And of course, I'm like saying some things I shouldn't be saying, and I can't believe this is happening, and where's my wallet, and on and on and on. And we search and search and search and call Target and drive over there. And then I reach down on the side of my car and there's my wallet. Okay, so these attacks going on. And I have the word because the Lord releases it through me. And I come home after we eat dinner. It's, 10, 11 o'clock last night. And I said, the word's not right. It's not right. I have to redo the word. It's not right. It's not right. And Julie's going to me, thank you for my wife. The word's right. The Lord gave it to you. Let it go. Go to bed. It's good. It's not right. And I start changing things and doing everything. And I say to the Lord, it's 11:30, 12 o'clock. I can't do this. I can't do it, Lord. And he brings me back to the original word. Our God is an awesome God. But we are under spiritual warfare. But I say, give me, and I hope you say it, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. The fertility, or other words, the abundance of Zion is what I'm going to start with. And it's most assuredly a word written to God's chosen people, the nation of Israel at the time, and their restoration coming out of captivity at the time, and in light of what they had endured, because they were brought into Babylon and various other places, he was thus speaking of the provisions of the land they would be returning to, and their redemption, or rather their restoration and the associated benefits. God's loving kindness being upon them. But when we look at this, and I'm looking at Isaiah 54, when we look at it more closely, at the word in terms of the heritage or inheritance for the servants of the Lord, the entire body of Christ, or the redeemed of Christ, the church at this end of this age. And we're talking about the fertility or the abundance of Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem coming down. The city of the living God coming down out of where? Heaven. The inhabitants being whom? You and I, the church of God. The body of Christ. The permanent capital, as I believe Zion to be, figuratively the redeemed church established there for an eternity. And it will include the remnant of the 12 tribes of Judah. Revelation says 144,000 will be saved in the end, and the Jehovah Witness thought that was them. The Lord God's talking about from the 12 tribes of Judah in the end, and I don't know where that plays out through Revelations, and I very cautiously don't preach always on Revelations because he said don't add to or subtract from it, so I want to make sure it's right, but I know that he's talking about there will be a remnant from the 12 tribes of Judah of 144 people that will also be brought in to what this is, the new Zion, the permanent capital. And I'm going to read it. It's Isaiah 54, if you have a Bible. It says, "Shout for joy, O barren one. You have borne no child. Break forth in joyful shouting and cry aloud, you who have not travailed, for the sons of the desolate one will be more numerous than the sons of the married woman, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out the curtains of your dwellings, spare not. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your pegs, for you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your descendants will possess nations and will resettle the desolate cities." Then he says, "Fear not, for you will not be put to shame, and do not feel humiliated, for you will not be disgraced, but you will forget the shame of your youth, and the reproach of your widowhood you will remember no more. For your husband is your maker, whose name is the Lord of hosts, and host of the heavenly militia," and everything that implies. "And your redeemer is the Holy One of Israel," and I'll insert the name there, "Jesus, who is called the God of the earth. For the Lord hath called you like a wife forsaken and grieved in spirit, even like the wife of one's youth, when she is rejected, says your God. For a brief moment I forsook you, but with great compassion I will gather you. In the outburst of anger I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting loving kindness I will have compassion on you, saith the Lord, your Redeemer. For this is like the days of Noah to me, when I swore that the waters of Noah would not flood the earth again. So I have sworn that I will not be angry with you, nor will I rebuke you. For the mountains may be removed, and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you, and my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord who has compassion on you. O afflicted one, storm-tossed and not comforted, behold, I will set your stones in antimony, and your foundations I will lay in sapphires. Moreover, I will make your battlement of rubies and your gates of crystal and your entire wall of precious stones. All your sons will be taught of the Lord, and the well-being of your sons will be great. In righteousness you will be established. You will be far from oppression, for you will not fear and from terror, for it will not come near you. If anyone fiercely assails you, it will not be from me. Whoever assails you will fall because of you. Behold, I myself have created the smith who blows the fire of coals and brings out a weapon for its work, and I have created the destroyer to ruin. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that accuses you in judgment, you will condemn. Now, he was talking specifically at that time to his nation, Israel. But if you have spiritual eyes to see and spiritual ears to hear, he's talking to you and I today. no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that curses you in judgment you will condemn. And then he says, this is the heritage. In other words, this is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. Satan didn't want me to release that today. But it is the word of the Lord. It is the word of the Lord. Oh, that was for that time. That was for the restoration of the nation Israel. You understand, we are Israel. We are grafted in because of our belief and faith in Jesus the Christ. Not everyone who is from the seed of Abraham is Israel, because not everyone what? Has faith. But you and I have faith, and we're grafted in. And what he speaks of, he's talking about the restoration, but really, if we look in the spirit realm, he's talking about heavenly Jerusalem. Jerusalem was built on Zion, one of the holy cities. At the time, it was called the city of David, right? But he also refers to it as the church, if you look at things spiritually. We're going to be reestablished in the end time, because he's bringing heaven down. He's bringing the holy city, Jerusalem, down. And we're going to rule and reign with him there for an eternity. Satan don't want you to know that. Focus on your problems today. Hey, Wayne, get sidetracked. You can't find your wallet. You don't want poor Julie to have to make 30 calls to cancel all the credit cards. Of course, don't bother. It's probably maxed out. So go ahead and try using it. Or Carly, I have one of her cards. I know what she would have done to me. You owe me money. Several things to pull out that truly speak to the body as a whole even today. Number one, our Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel, Jesus. He is also called what? The Bridegroom. Jesus. Number two, God has everlasting loving kindness and compassion on his people because of the redeeming work of who? Jesus. Everybody's got this image of this mean God walking around ready to beat you up. God is compassionate. God has loving kindness. He sent Jesus, who to this day, working through his people, is going after the one that's gone astray. The one that thinks they're so sinful and have done such horrific things. And Jesus is saying, hey, Alex, would you go over and talk to that one? Because that person needs to be saved, and he's going to use Alex. Or how about Dawn? There's this one over here. You're equipped better to deal with that personality. I'm going after the lost ones, the one who's lost. Number three, we are through Christ established in righteousness, so we're in right standing with Daddy, as I call him, Father God. We weren't in right standing because things got messed up in the Garden of Eden. Jesus came, cleaned up, and if we believe in him, and it's the simplest way to say it, hey, there's a mess there, I got to clean it up. And clean it up he did using his body, sacrificing his body and shedding his blood. And now if we believe in him and his atoning work at the cross, we are grafted in as the nation of Israel. We are the children of God by faith, not by works. All right? And we're righteous because of Jesus. Number four, through Christ, no weapon that is formed against us will prosper. We had a little bit of study in the back room, and everybody in the room can talk about the problems we have, the attacks we have. Some have had horrific losses. But in the end, no weapon that has been formed against you. You will be restored 100-fold. Maybe not this side of heaven, but 100-fold. Number five, the mountains may be removed, hills may shake, but God's loving kindness will not be removed from us. Anybody got hills shaking, mountains moving in your life? Not calling you anymore, Pastor. Could have been watching TV, looking at my fountains that aren't running anymore. Number six, the covenant of peace in Christ Jesus will not be shaken. You need to understand, you can't shake his kingdom. The kingdom can shake, don't get me wrong, but you can't be removed from it, right? Because the peace can't be shaken. And the Prince of Peace is Jesus. Jesus isn't going to be moved. Your problem is not a problem for King Jesus. Now, he may not answer it the way we want, but it's not a problem for him. And he says, He's taking care of us and will always take care of us. 7. For us at the end of the age, Zion is coming down out of heaven, the heavenly Jerusalem from which we will rule and reign with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for an eternity. This is all temporal. And everybody lives eternally, and I know that's scary for some, but the reality is it is what it is. I'm going to choose how I'm going to spend my eternity because he chose me. Hey, Jesus, you chose me. I choose also you. And I know, and we can get into Revelations talking about how beautiful heaven's going to be, only a glimpse of it, but it's going to be awesome. Some of us have family already there, and we're going to be reunited, and it's going to be eternal joy. Revelations 21:10 says, and he carried me away, it's John in Revelations, to a great and high mountain, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem come down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. And why is he bringing it down? He's restored it for you and I, his chosen people, those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He's restored it, and he's going to bring it down. And ain't anything Satan or his demonic principalities or man, woman, and child that isn't serving him is going to do about it. It's happening. It's yes and amen in Jesus Christ. We're going to experience it for an eternity, and it's going to be awesome. Isaiah 52, awake, awake, clothe yourself in your strength, O Zion. Clothe yourself in your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For the uncircumcised and the unclean will no longer come to it. They're not going to be there. For the redeemed in Christ indeed, the heavenly city, the new Jerusalem, the eternal capital, and God will gather his people. It doesn't matter where you are in the earth, if you're in the earth. It doesn't matter where you are buried or cremated or whatever you opt to do. He's going to gather us. He's going to gather us. Now, when you die, and I won't get into that, you're already in the presence, but the fullness of what he has in store at the end of the age. Okay? God will gather his people, you and I, grafted in because of our belief in Christ Jesus as well, the 144 redeemed, and securely position us there. It's already been established in Christ, right? We're already established to inherit everything that's Jesus's. And what is it? He has everything. He's in control of everything. He knows everybody in the room. He knows your name. He knows everybody's name. We talk about all that. But the reality is he inherits everything. And because we are connected to him, we inherit it too. It's awesome. It's a sure thing, real deal. How do I know? How do I know? How am I standing before you and saying, I know that heaven awaits me? How do I know it? His word declares it. Anybody have opportunity to not just leave this on the shelf when you get home on a Sunday and actually read it? I read it. I study it. I have this awesome Bible software. Because I'll start reading, I'm going, okay, what does that word mean in the context of that message? And I may not all get it all right, right? I know in part, we prophesy in part, and we'll talk about that a little later. But the reality is this word tells me, this written word tells me, Jesus is real, one. Jesus himself walked the earth. Even historians know Jesus walked the earth. He declared he was the Son of God. Now, unless he was a lunatic, he wouldn't have gone to the cross and died for people he didn't know. You know, maybe he needed to be on something or I don't know what, but he's not a lunatic. He wasn't crazy, right? He declared it, and the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, reveals it to you and I every day because when we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, that Holy Spirit is sealed in us as a promise for the redemption. That's for the eternal redemption, right? So that Spirit is, script John says, is with me and in me. God lives in you and I. Whether you come to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior or not, you have God in you written where? On your heart. Doesn't mean you're going to accept him. Well, everybody says, baptize, I'm saved. No. You have to then say, I accept that you chose me. Because many people are baptized and walk away from the faith. Right? You have to come to him and believe in him. Accept him. Some call that born again. Some don't like that concept. But the truth of the matter is, I have to say to Jesus, I accept what you did at the cross. I accept your free gift of mercy, and I want to be with you for an eternity. Isaiah 52:7 says, how lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. They shout joyfully together, for they will see with their own eyes when the Lord restores Zion. We're going to see it. Isn't that awesome? If someone says to you, I'm Jesus, and they came through this door, it ain't Jesus, because how is he coming? Through the clouds. He's coming through the clouds. So if this, you know, we've had a lot of goofy religions out there. Oh, he's Jesus. Really? Where'd he come from? I didn't see him. Everyone is going to see him, and every knee will bow. Even if you didn't believe him, every knee will bow, and every tongue is going to confess him. You might want to consider getting on the right side. He's awesome. God, with everlasting loving kindness, has compassion for you and I. Through his son, Jesus, we are established in righteousness. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by what? Faith. It's the key. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have to do anything to earn it. I can't go and work good works. You have a sin in your life and say, I feel like I've got to repent. Yes, you need to repent it. But you don't have to work at your salvation. It's already guaranteed through your faith in Jesus Christ. There is nothing so horrific that you can do, right? Hear me. Nothing so horrific you have done that can't be washed clean by the blood of Christ Jesus. There's only the one sin, grieving the Holy Spirit, which is rejection of Jesus as Lord and Savior. I've murdered someone. I've done this. I've done that. Get it covered under the blood. There's consequences to sin, but get it covered. Everything can be covered under the blood of Jesus. For you all are sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For you all were baptized into Christ, thus having clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither now Jew or Greek, slave nor free man, male nor female. You are all one in Christ. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. Yeah, I can't serve a God who's male, female. God's spirit! We're all one in Christ Jesus, right? And we're not going to understand the totality of what that means, what a glorified body means, is till we get home. But the reality is, who cares? I'm getting home. How about you? I'm getting home. We have a heritage or inheritance as servants of the Lord if we turn to God and believe in the one whom he hath sent. Indeed, the Lord has bared his holy arm in the sight of all nations so that all the ends of the earth may see the salvation of the Lord. His holy arm is Christ. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father, at the right hand even now, interceding for the saints. And what amongst many other things does the Holy Spirit reveal? He reveals Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and Jesus as my very best friend. This friend is never going to leave you or forsake you. Have some of you lost people? They've left you. Maybe some of you are divorced. I don't know. This side of heaven, we get disappointed, right? Things happen to us. He doesn't leave us or forsake us. How doesn't he leave us? He sent us the Comforter, the Healer, the Helper, the Spirit of Truth to live in us. To live in us. I can't really have confidence to declare that about anything else in my life or this world. Oh, but Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. What security we have in Jesus. Security now and in the hereafter. Everybody says, well, I'm just going to have a horrific life now. That's not what he said. He said you'll have the abundant life now. Unfortunately, people don't understand what abundant means. It means roller coaster. Up and down, up and down. But at the end, up. Okay? I mean, look at that analogy, at the end, up. Abundant life. I'll take it. I'll suffer if I need to suffer. Different message. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. That's what we're supposed to do. For those who are far off, turn to me and be saved. Turn to the right, Jesus. I have swore by myself, the word has gone forth from my mouth in righteousness and will not return back to me. That to me every knee will bow, every tongue will confess allegiance. They will say of me, only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. Men will come to him. All who were angry at him will be put to shame. In the Lord, all the offspring of Israel will be justified and will glory. Justified, meaning rendered just or innocent, all sins covered in right standing with the Father. Not only are they covered, they're expunged. And I worked in the court system, Julie. Expunged means it's supposedly wiped off the record. In Jesus' case, it is. In the court system, not always. Okay? But it's expunged. Our sins are expunged. Satan's going to come whispering here, you know what you did a few years ago, Linda? I want to bring that into your remembrance. Get back there, Satan. I already confessed that. It's done. It's a done deal. But he'll keep bringing it back. He'll keep bringing it back. It's done. And as your faith grows and matures, you have to shut it down. You have to shut that noise down in your mind because it's covered under the blood. Well, I still don't, I don't forgive myself. He's forgiven you. Forgive yourself. There isn't a one of us in the room that's perfect. None of us are walking on water. We strive towards that. I know, Julie, I walk on water. We strive towards that. I know Alex does too, right? I can't get my phones going. I'll get to whole other story. None of us are perfect. All four fall short, right? Not one hasn't sinned. And you may think your sins are worse than anybody else's. Newsflash, maybe not. Probably not. And Jesus knows everything, and he says, just come to me. Come to me just as you are. He didn't come when we were all great people. He came when we were sinners. Where was Jesus always found? Sitting with sinners. The prostitutes, the tax collectors, the demon-possessed, all these people. He came to seek and save them. You and I, of course, but he was a physician come to heal the sick. Oh, don't bring those people into the church. We don't want those people sitting in the church. Why? We're the church. Let's heal them. Let's raise the dead, cast out demons. Now, yes, it's not what we're supposed to be doing, but it's part of what the Word says we are going to do. These things that I do, you'll do greater because I go to the Father, send the Holy Spirit. There are people in here who have been supernaturally healed by a touch, right? God still heals today. But our main focus is to release the gospel message of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Turn to God, receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, be saved, and then what are we supposed to do? Well, really what he's saying is, what might we do to do the works of God? This is the question posed. The Word declares, this is the work of God, believe in the one whom he has sent. That's our work, to believe in whom? Jesus. It's John 6:29. That's so very simple. And yet religion would put us at times back under the law of ordinances and rules. I had a discussion with a lady once. Can't go to your church because you minister on Sundays. And the law, the book says it's Saturday. Wow! What Bible are you reading? Every day is a day to worship Jesus. But she's back under the law. I can't eat meat. I can't do this. I can't do that. These ordinances were to separate God's people in Old Testament times. Now we're separated to God because of our faith in Jesus Christ. And if you don't eat meat because you believe it's wrong scripturally and I come into your house, I'm not going to have you stumble, so I'm not going to eat meat. Not because I believe it, right? But because Paul says we become all things to all people. That's a maturity in the faith and walking with Christ Jesus. I don't want you to stumble. If you believe baptism means this and I don't, I'm going to honor that. I don't want you to stumble. We all know in part. I'm telling you, no one has it totally correct, right? The Catholics don't have it totally correct. The Lutherans don't have it totally correct. The non-denominational people don't have it totally correct. Every joint supplies. We're going to get up there and he says, right about that, wrong about that, right about that, wrong about that, but it doesn't matter. But the one thing does. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Believe in the one whom he has sent. I'm here to tell you, according to the written word, the living word, Jesus, and the revealed word through the Holy Spirit, that Jesus is all we need. Scripture says, in Christ, the solid rock, we stand, all other ground, sinking sand. Colossians tells us that in Christ you have been made complete. He is the head over all rule and authority, and in him you were also circumcised with what? A circumcision made without hands in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised Jesus from the dead. Believe. Walk out of this room with anything else, that word, believe. In other words, have faith and trust one's spiritual well-being to Christ. Commit to Christ. The Greek word is pistion. Have faith in trust, and here's the key, commit. I can have faith in Jesus, or I can know Jesus. The devil knows Jesus. Now I need to commit to Jesus every day of my life going forward. That means he comes first in everything. And that's where faith gets complicated, because sometimes things mess us up. Because our soul is still what? We're still dealing with the old sinful nature, right? So we have this whisper, oh, it's okay to do this, this, and this, where our spirit man is telling us that's our connection to his spirit, the Holy Spirit, and we need to be established in that. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. God has installed his King Jesus upon Zion, his holy mountain, and the nations are his inheritance, the very ends of the earth are his possession. And then the word says, how blessed are all who take refuge in him. I don't know about you this morning. I do know. But I say, you can have all this world. Money, fame, fortune, the lust of the flesh, the soulish desires, the temporal. But give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. It's the only thing that has sustained me thus far. It's the only thing that will sustain you and I going forward. We have final victory, lasting victory, although for a season we may share his suffering. As the word says, we're not greater than the master. He suffered, and it's so it's fitting that we also are going to suffer. Romans, we are to exalt in our tribulations, knowing that they bring about perseverance, perseverance, proven character, as we talked earlier, hope. Hope. We have hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We know that we're foreigners, sojourning through this promised land, to the promised land. This place is temporal, but my ticket to Zion has been purchased. I'm going. And we like to go, don't we, Julie? We like to travel. But our ticket to that destination has been purchased through the blood of the Lamb, King Jesus. I receive it because I believe it. Final victory, John 1 John 2:25. This is the promise which he himself has made for us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. The world in this hour is going to try to deceive us and take us away from that. Look around you. By the way, if you have prophetic understanding or spiritual connectedness to the Lord, which I know we all do by the Holy Spirit, look at what's going on in the city of Jerusalem right now, right? And I'm not talking politics here, so it's nothing about politics, but the prior president, what? Recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, right? That was very significant spiritually. Now we have another administration, and they're going to also allow the Palestinians to come in and have an embassy or their capital there, so the city would get divided. It's so prophetic, scripturally, what's going on, if you have ears and eyes to see in the Spirit. And you aren't going to take God's God's land for his people away from them. Now, it's going to play out through his, you know, we know that there's going to be attacks in the end times and so on and so forth, but it's a spiritual correlation to what really is going on between good and evil and what's going to happen in the end, because Jerusalem in the end is for God's people. it's going to be reestablished, you know. And we can talk about it's going to be reestablished here in the earth. Maybe, I don't know. But it is spiritually the church's possession and inheritance. But it's happening in the world if you can see it. And people don't understand. People coming against Jerusalem right now, and I'm going, some of the people, and I'm not talking, again, I'm not talking politics, but I'm saying, do you understand what you're doing? You are coming against Israel. You are calling them terrorists and so on and so forth. Yee! I am not getting anywhere near that person because something's going to happen to them. If you bless Israel, you will be blessed. If you curse Israel, you will be cursed. Something bad going to happen. And I'm getting away from, hey, I'll pray for you. Head on over to the cemetery there. You may want to get yourself a plot. Jesus is the door, the only door, the entry point. John 10:9 says, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. I'm going to talk to you and stretch you a little bit spiritually. Are we okay this morning? Hear this. Saved, salvation, and also pasture. Right? I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. And I may have talked about this some time back. So first and foremost, saved? Hallelujah. You and I are saved, right? That's the key. However, the Lord is my shepherd now. Psalms 23, I'm going to read it. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And this is going to be for Carly. Rod. Keep that in mind, Carly. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will come to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Everybody has that at their funeral. Do you realize it's talking about now? This is the valley of the shadow of death, right? We're walking through the valley of the shadow of death on our way home, right? He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Going back, I am the door. If anyone enters in through me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. What is a pasture? A pasture. It's, number one, a place to rest, right? But more specifically, it's a place to eat. Okay, are we together so far? A pasture is a place to eat. Jesus is telling him, you and I, we can go in and out and find pasture, okay? There is eternal life in Jesus, which is first and foremost. Right? Jesus and Jesus alone saves, but additionally, we can in the here and now go in and out and find pastures through our belief in Christ. In other words, the Hebrew is miral, the shepherd, Jesus, is even now tending to his sheep. Okay? His people, you and I, who believe, we are at liberty now to receive from him, to feed on him in the truest sense, which is what takes place in a pasture. I'm talking spiritual things now. Are you with me? We can feed on Jesus now. Okay? Graze, feed, consume Jesus. Not in any physical way, as the Israelites ate manna in the wilderness but died, because it was physical food for the body alone. Jesus is our what? Spiritual substance. He's our spiritual substance because God is spirit. Already present with us, connecting and communing with our spirit, unity, our spirit with the Holy Spirit. Spiritual food in the here and now and for eternity. In other words, our spirit connecting to his. It is the essence of true communion with Christ. Okay? Being in communion with Christ, in other words, we come to him, which can only be accomplished through his spirit connecting with ours, which is eating him. And we believe in him, which is drinking of Christ. Come and believe, go in and out and find pasture. John 6:35, and this is the revelation the Lord gave to me. And Jesus said it to them, I am the bread of life. Correct? He that cometh to me, now connect the words. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Come to me, eat me. believe in me, drink me. Do you understand spiritually what he's saying? When we come to Jesus, we're eating him. When we believe in Jesus, we're drinking him. In the truest spiritual sense, because we are spirit beings connecting to our spiritual God. Every time we come to Jesus, we eat him. Not in a literal sense. Every time we believe in Jesus, we drink him. John 6:35. In the simplest but greatest sense of the pastor, we have opportunity in the here and now to continually rely on Jesus for our every need, and we come to him and also believe in him, which is key. We are in communication with him, and he will take care of us because the shepherd tends to the sheep even now in our journey home. Jesus wants us to come to him all the time. In the spiritual sense, and that's all I'm talking here, he wants us to come. He wants us to eat him or devour him wholly, cover ourselves, take him in. He wants us to drink him, meaning he wants us to believe him. If you're going to come to him, you ought to believe in him. I come into you, Jesus, but I really don't believe in you. I don't believe you're going to do anything for me. It's been 2 years, 20 years, 40 years, nothing's happening. Hold on. You have to hold on to this principle. You have to come to him and believe in him and then follow him. Okay? Our spirit connected to the Holy Spirit, well established. Just as our physical bodies need to be fed, so does our spiritual person need to be fed. And how do we feed in the spirit? We come and we believe. That's the message there. Therefore, though there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ, for the law of the Spirit of Christ has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled. And so what are we supposed to do now? Live by the Spirit. Capital S, meaning the Holy Spirit. The leading of the Holy Spirit, and not carry out the desires of the sinful flesh. So yes, it's a free gift. Come to Jesus, believe in Jesus, but follow Jesus. Some people get that part, and I'm not going to do that. I come to you, I believe in you, I'm going to heaven, I'm not going to follow you. So we got to get rid of the fleshly desires, and they're listed in Scripture, some of them in morality, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, strife, jealousy, and so on and so forth. There's a whole list of them. And when we are walking by the Spirit, right, the fruits of the Spirit are going to be manifested through us, which is the love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, and so forth. And I like Philippians 4:8. It says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, we are to dwell on those things as the body of Christ. If I'm a member of the body of Christ, I'm not going to come up to you, I shouldn't, and start swearing at you and hating you, driving on the highway and lifting some fingers. And I mean, these are minor things, right? No, I've never done that. Not since I put my Jesus sticker on the back of the car. And I'm being facetious, but really he wants us to get in alignment. He wants us to be holy because he is holy. And it's the key to breakthroughs in our lives, right? It's the key. I believe, I come to Jesus. I believe in him. Why am I not getting my breakthrough? Wayne, you've been dealing with this for a lot of time now. You need to clean that up. He still loves me, right? That little whisper of the Holy Spirit, right? God's conscience in me, I call it, right? Telling me that this isn't right. And I just talked to Julie about it. I said, you know, I've been wiping some of these things off to feel more of the presence of the Lord and to get breakthroughs. I'm not saying he's going to work out the way that I wanted to, but the reality is he's telling us to get to that point. We need to start being spirit-minded and not fleshly-minded. So as Terry, you and I talk with issues of you know, whatever the issues are in our lives, my fleshly man, worry, anxiety, my spirit man ought be connected to the Spirit of God and say, Zion's yours. Take thy child, thy wife, thy life. You have nothing lost. The kingdom remaineth. I have to put that in my mind. I am in control of all things. Jesus said, I am the head. I'm the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. Everything was created by me, through me, for me. No government is set up that I haven't set up. Even evil governments are set up by him. They can't come into existence to perform his good will. He'll even take evil rulers to accomplish his objectives, which is ultimately to get people saved, to get us to heaven for an eternity. My Savior, my Deliverer, the Anointed One of God, Emmanuel, God with us. Now, Scripture, Old Testament, Jesus, there were multiple Old Testament prophecies fulfilled through Jesus. Jesus wasn't the Son of God. Well, if anybody wants a copy of this, it's not really good. It talks of all the prophetic things in Old Testament Scripture that were fulfilled for Christ. There were quite a few. born of the seed of woman, seed of Abraham, seed of Isaac, on and on, from the tribe of Judah, born in Bethlehem. How could they know thousands and thousands of years before he even came into existence that he would be born in Bethlehem? That his time for birth was revealed in Daniel and in Luke and other areas. It met the timeline that was established of old. Declared to be the Son of God. Psalms 2, today I have begotten, you are my son, today I have begotten you. Who is he talking about? Jesus. In Psalms. And thousands of years later, he comes in. It says in Old Testament, he'd be betrayed by a friend, Judas, right? Sold for 30 pieces of silver. It happened. Now, coincidence? Yeah, maybe one or two. All these prophecies, all were fulfilled in Jesus. Jesus who came to seek and to save the lost, made company among the sinners, Jesus who healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out demons, Jesus who had and has compassion for the hurting, Jesus who sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, so we wouldn't be left orphans and alone, Jesus who offers eternal life, spiritual fullness, power for service, power to tread on evil. Even today, you don't know the power of the tongue. Watch what you say. Watch what you say because you're a kingdom kid and what comes out of your mouth can impact. You speak negative, you speak what's going to probably come into be, right? We have to be careful. We're kingdom kids. Jesus who said, he who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And it goes on and on. Isaiah 44:3 says, for I will pour out my out water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. He's talking about his spirit. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessings on your descendants. Isaiah 44:8. Do not tremble and do not be afraid. Have I not long since announced it to you and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there any other God beside me? No. There isn't, right? Or is there any other rock which is Jesus? No. We ought not lose heart, though our outer man is decaying, right? Yet our inner man, the Spirit, is being renewed day by day. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit itself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs, heirs of God, heirs with Christ, if we indeed suffer with him so that we may be glorified with him. Closing, it says, Romans 8:15, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons and daughters of God. Right? We have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons and daughters by which we cry out what? Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. I don't know about you, but I choose Jesus. It is well with my soul. Amen. We're going to go into communion. And I'm going to speak a little bit about communion this morning before we partake of that. Let me get through a little bit of this and then we can go forth on that. I love Jesus. Can you tell? I love Jesus. I've known him since I was a little boy. Haven't always served him as best as I should, but he's moving through me by the leading of the Holy Spirit, and he wants to move through everyone in the room because everybody's got an awesome gift. I don't even know what it is. Oh, I'm too old. Yeah, better look at Scripture. Everybody that he used was old, you know? There was just a study that came. I don't know if anybody of you saw it, but the best years, the most productive years, they say are from 60 to 70. Now, I'm only 40, so Terry, you tell me how that works. Okay, I'm 61. Seriously, the best years of productivity, 60 to 70, then 70, 80, then 40 to 50. We're in the prime. And for you younger people, yeah, you should be even better than that. You got more energy. But the reality is, I love Jesus. I'm excited about Jesus. I don't want anybody to perish. I can't think of one person in my life that I want to go to hell. Because if the revelation, as I've spoken on in the past, of what God showed me hell is like, oh, please, please, Lord, don't send that person. Please, I pray for their salvation. Even my enemies, I've been praying for more now. Right? Not that I have a lot of enemies, but people that have offended me or grieved me or whatever, I keep praying. I said, Lord, I don't want to. Why? Why won't they accept your free gift? Hardening of the heart or whatever. Keep praying. Keep praying. I love Jesus. I know Jesus. I'm talking communion now. I know Jesus. I have purpose to become intimately acquainted with him continually through what? The written word? I've been taught of it, and I have purpose to sit under anointed preaching to further have its meaning disclosed to me. We have to raise our children up to be in communion. I don't advocate personally taking communion if you haven't been raised up to understand the word and to have an acceptance of Jesus as Lord and Savior and to have true understanding about what you're doing when you commune. It's okay. The Lutheran Church, which we were raised in, eighth grade, they gave us all the Sunday school teaching to prepare you so that if you took communion, you had a reverence for what it meant. We are coming together in communion as the body and in communion with Christ. And we're supposed to do it in a worthy way, and I'm going to just briefly talk about this. We're going to get on to it. I know Jesus because of the revealed word as well, or the rhema word, as conveyed through what? Revelation of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth that lives in us. We have been sealed with that promise of truth because of the redeeming work of Jesus, which I spoke of, Ephesians 1:13. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. John 14:1, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see or know him, but you know him because he abides in you and will be with you. I'm laying a little bit of a foundation. Because I know Jesus, I follow him as instructed by him in the written word and as led by the Holy Spirit. My spirit in communion with fellowship. It actually says intercourse, which talks about not literally, but intimacy with his spirit. Walking Christ in the earth. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus' son cleanses us from all our sin. Jesus says it in scripture, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? We must come to Jesus, hear his words, in other words, believe in him and act, do what he says. Because faith without works or actions is dead. We're not saved by those works or actions, but faith without it is no faith. Coming, believing, but not doing is really building on a foundation other than Christ, but we build on the strong foundation of Christ Jesus. I come to Jesus, I believe in Jesus, and I act upon what he directs I do. Now, in following Jesus and his word this morning, the body of Christ is coming together for and in communion. To be in fellowship with one another and to be in present fellowship with Christ our Lord. The body of Christ coming together, Christ the living bread, we the individual members of the body, but what? One body in Christ. As we come together, we do so what? In remembrance of him, scripture says. Remembrance of Christ's death, proclaiming his death before the world until he comes again. Proclaiming what that death accomplished. Are you hearing me? We're coming to take communion in remembrance of him, remembrance of his death, proclaiming his death before the world until he comes again, proclaiming what that death has accomplished. Life. Life. Being fully aware of his sacrifice, the giving of his body as a sacrifice, and the shedding also of his blood to cover our sins and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. His sacrifice is once for all. Restoring us to right standing with the Father, a remembrance of Christ, remembrance of his death, fellow presenceship, and an anticipation of what? His return. Also a symbol. of church unity, in the spiritual sense, church unity, is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ. The cup of blessing which we bless is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we all are partakers of the one bread. Now, the word says you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and also the cup of demons. We cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and also the table of demons. In other words, we have to be separated unto the Lord. You have to be separated unto the Lord. You can't be separated into the world with all that is not of God. You can't partake of both of those. Okay? Now the word says you cannot drink of the Lord, the cup of the Lord, and the cup of demons. You cannot be takers of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Partakers of are to be wholly separate to the Lord. Unworthy partakers of communion are guilty of what? The body and blood of Christ. They do not discern the Lord's body and are thus potentially visited with judgments. We need to raise our children up to understand what they're doing. We need to do a self-examination before partaking of it. 1 Corinthians 11:28. But let a man examine himself so that he eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily does what? Eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you. We are to lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted, in accordance with the lust of deceit, and be renewed in the spirit of our mind, and put on the new self, which is the likeness of God, which having created in the righteousness and holiness of truth. We come and we let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from us. We're coming to communion with each other and with the Lord. Let us commune accordingly. Purge out the old leaven. Let us be made what? A new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for all. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with the old leaven, with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with a bread of sincerity and truth. That we can all agree on, right? We are coming together as the body, and we're coming together to commune with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're coming with the right attitude. We have to come and have that old man. If there's anything today that you're harboring, any sins, any unforgiveness, you need to bring that before the Lord before taking communion. We practice what's called open communion at Harvester's Church, right? We're the body. You should be able to commune with the body wherever the body is present, but that's not the world right now, okay? Acts 2:41-42, we are to practice open communion for believers who have a proper attitude towards Christ and his people. Then they gladly received his word, were baptized in the same, they were added unto him about 300 souls, and they continued what? Steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Believing is key. You have to believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. How do you believe? You're taught it, right? You study the Bible. You go to Sunday school. And again, call it born again or don't call it born again, you have to come and say, yes, I know who Jesus is. I believe in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And if you weren't baptized, when you come to that believing, you're going to get baptized because the word says what? He that believeth and is baptized. Jesus didn't need to be baptized for forgiveness of sins, but he was being obedient to the word of the Father. I need to get myself baptized. Believers come with a proper attitude, who can self-examine, who know to, and come with a newness of heart, purging out the old leaven and being a new lump. The church is divided in many ways concerning the bread and wine, whether present in the elements received being the true body and true blood of Christ, or a symbol of the same, whether we fellowship with Christ through partaking of his literal body and blood, or spiritually partake of him. For some, the body and blood, literally, for others, a representation. And this is me. Our differences in this vein, I pray, would not divide us. It would not divide us as we gather with a variety of backgrounds. Awesome! We have such a diversity of people. but we're one body. Don't let Satan separate us, because we've all been raised with a different background. We all know in part. We all prophesy in part. We have to have an understanding, but our differences shouldn't divide us. We all know in part and all prophesy. But upon his return, we will know fully. Danny, you said it earlier, being face to face with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Sorry to break the news, but none of us knows it all. That's why we have all these different religions out there. Lutheran, Catholic, Presbyterian, they can't agree. I can read scripture one day and go, oh, that's what it means. A couple days later, oh, I don't know if that's what it means. Doesn't matter, because I spoke on what does matter. Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Okay, that's what matters. Thus, all joints supply. Rather, let our conscience, a good conscience towards God, as impressed upon, impacted by the truth, by the Holy Spirit, guide us in this vein as we do as Christ instructs and commits to coming together as the body of Christ in our unity of faith in Christ Jesus, proclaiming amongst ourselves and to the unsaved world that we believe in Jesus and everything that implies, that we love one another just as he commanded. We come together in fellowship with one another and in fellowship with Christ, declaring his death until he comes again. Receive of the elements how you believe to receive them, with the understanding of what we all agree on together. We are in unity with one another as the body of Christ, in the truest sense of unity, right? Allow the Holy Spirit to tell you what's right, and come together as the body to worship and to be in fellowship with Christ. Can we pass out the elements? Lord God, I pray that if anything spoken is not of you, that your Holy Spirit would guide us in this vein, but we come together now as the body of Christ in unity, acknowledging your body, acknowledging your blood, acknowledging what it did for us and what it continues to do for us on our journey home. I pray now, Lord, that everybody would examine themselves as your word says. If there's anything unworthy, anything sinful, that they would bring it before you now, confess it, so that they are coming to your feast in the right manner. In Jesus' name, amen. And broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body. So as they were eating, took the cup and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for the many for the remission of sins. The God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.